this is Yitzhak, and we're studying Masechta Bava Basra. And we're at Perek Tes Mishnah Zayin, the ninth Perek, the seventh Mishnah. The sixth Mishnah we read about somebody who is a Shchivmer, somebody who is lying ill, and is given a special opportunity, a special authority to distribute his possessions without a formal kinyan, and just orally. And that these instructions, given the fact that he's on his deathbed, have legal standing. This Mishnah is going to discuss that this rule is of the Shchivmer being able to give over orally, make a transaction, is actually a machlokas amongst the Tanaim. Mishnah reads, HaMechalik Nechasav Apiv. If somebody distributes his property orally, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, Echad Bar Echad Masukan, that it could be, whether he's healthy or whether he's Masukan, he's dangerously ill, he knows he's going to die. Nechasim Sheishan Achayas, that it could be properties which can become subject to a lien, meaning real properties, real estate, can be mortgaged to a creditor because of their performance guarantees their ability for collection. So there's recourse that's available there. Nikni bekesef, that they could be acquired with money, bishtar, and with a document, b'chazaka, and with a kinyan chazaka, some form of active possession, something that would indicate that this belongs to him. M'she'en l'chen achrayas, those pieces of property which do not have achrayas, there's no recourse, a nikun elav m'shicha. The only way you could do a kinyan on them is with kinyan m'shicha. M'shicha means to pull and make the actual thing move. This is suitable for movable properties, taltalan, and for example, a cow. You want to take a cow possession, you move it, you pull it with you, and then indicates that you have the new ownership. So that's what Rabbi Lezer said to him. That's what Rabbi Lezer said. Amru lo, Chum argued back on Rabbi Lezer, Maisa b'iman shal b'nei rochel shal haisa chola, for amru chinu kivinasi leviti. Happened that there was a mother of the sons of Rochel, that she was sick, and she said, give my veil to my daughter. And it is mana, and it is worth 12 mana. Mesa, and she dies. Kim Rastira, and they held up her words. That basically at the time she was dying, because what's interesting here is that although a daughter does not inherit when there are sons, nonetheless, the oral instructions of the Shchivmerav, the woman who knew she was going to die, were honored by the Chacham, by the sages there. Amar Lahan, Rabbi Lezer says back, B'nei Rochel, Tekabram Imam. As to the sons of Rochel, their mother should bury them. Rabbi Lezer said that no proof can be brought from their case because they were sinners, and the rabbis fined by allowing their mother to transfer their inheritance to her daughter. Meaning, if they were good sons, they were good people, then this might not have occurred. So it appears that now the machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and the Chacham were the sons of Rochel, good people or bad people. Their background is that they were men who maintained thorns in a vineyard, and that, is according to Rabbi Lezer, is kilayim. Kilayim in a vineyard. The Chacham, though, because they're thorns, they don't consider thorns which don't have a benefit being harvested with grapes. They don't consider that a type of kilayi karam, and therefore the Chachamim don't look at them as bad. And that's why Rabbi Lezer here says that that giving them over was no chiddush. Doesn't prove the rule in the Mishnah. It's simply that the sons are bad. However, the Chachamim don't have any reason to say that the sons are bad and sinners. Therefore, the chiddush here for them is that they honor the case of the veil being given to the daughters, even though there are sons alive. And the Chachamim say, "B'Shabbos devar kayamim." On the Shabbos, his words are upheld. Because he can't write. But on weekdays, where somebody who's on their deathbed can write, then they have to be issued. The formal instructions have to be written. Rabbi Shua says, "B'Shabbos amru kavachom v'chol." If they allow it to work on Shabbos, then for sure they can allow it to work during the Chol. during the week. And the reason why this is the case is because if verbal instructions are allowed on Shabbos when regular communion can't work, when regular acquisitions can't work, then on a regular weekday where they can work, so too this extra special way of doing things can also work as well. Mishnah continues, Kayotzebo. Zachin the katan, somebody can acquire for a minor, but ain't zachin the gadol, but you can't acquire for a gadol, for an adult. The reason why you can acquire for a minor is because the minor doesn't have a legal ability to make their own acquisition, so therefore rabbis allow an adult to acquire for them, but you can't acquire for an adult because an adult has to acquire themselves. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, the katan under kavachomer a gadol. Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is if a katan, right, who generally can't make a an acquisition for himself, the acquisition can be made by an adult, then for sure an adult who can generally do it would be allowed to have it done by another adult. That's the end of the seventh Mishnah. Perek Tes Mishnah Ches. The rest of this perek is going to deal with the rules governing a case where there's inheritance of several members who die similar times, and the precise order of death is not clear. So nafal habayis alav ve'alav. If somebody dies and their father dies as well, because the house fell on top of both of them, or alav ve'almor shav, or fell on a man and the people who are going to inherit from him. V'hayis alav kesuba sisha, and there was his wife's kesuba ubachov, and there are, or there was a creditor's claim outstanding against him. So you have all these people who die. And to further complicate matters, there is an ksuba that a woman could collect, or creditors that want to collect something. So your sheha av omrim, the father's heirs will say haben meis rishon, va'achar kach meis av. They'll say that the son died first, and then the father died. And the reason this is the case is because the father's heirs claim that the father passed away first, that the son passed away first. And thus, they never inherited the father, and they don't have to pay back the claim to either the ksuba or to the bachov, to the person who has the the grandfather owed money to. The Mishnah here is just to backtrack a second. The Mishnah here is talking about when a house collapses on a grandfather and a father. And the grandkids are now surviving. This is not just in a case where it's a grandfather and a father, and their grandkids are surviving. It's anybody who stands to inherit. Two generations inherit. The first generation, in this case the grandfather, owes people money. So it's in the grandkids' best interest to say that their father passed away first, and therefore they had nothing to do. They're completely disconnected with the obligations of the first generation of the grandfather. Balechov omrim, however, those who are trying to collect will say that ha'av meis rishon, va'achar kach meis ha'ben, that the grandfather who owed the money died first, and then the father died, and as a result, the surviving grandchildren actually inherited the grandfather's initial claim. Beisham omrachloku, so here's the way it's going to be dealt with. Beishamai says that because they can't determine who died first, you have to you have a suffix, and therefore they divide it. Beis Hillel says, "Nechasim becheskasim." The property retains its chazak; it retains its status. So Beis Hillel disputes the contention that possession of a loan document is tantamount to possession of the money, and therefore the properties are considered to be in the possessions of the heirs, while the creditors are considered to be in the possession of trying to exact the property from that possession. Therefore, they have to bring proof that the father died before the son. And Hamotzi Mechavel Avaraya, and if they can't prove that the father died before the grandfather died before the son, then the grandkids keep moving. That's what they say. And Mishnah says that they divide it.